You got to love the music. That is some Steel Pans, and we're getting ready for Saturday where we have a Steel Pan Festival right here in Kema, Texas. In any event, it's one of my favorite instruments, and I think one of the happiest sounds, and no better way to start Tuesdays than with happy music anyway. And especially after, I guess, this year, things seem to be shifting literally and figuratively. I know that the earthquakes that have been experienced all over the world has had some effect on all of us, I think. And I guess, we talk about the shift, and maybe there's something more real to all of it. And, you know, too, not only the shift, but there's also a split going on, I think, here in the United States. And what has happened over the last few days, there seems to be a huge split or schism within our American family. And it just brings home, I think, the fact that, times are changing, and sometimes maybe we need to start changing with the times. And, in fact, one of the things that I see is that we really are in a period of enlightenment. And, genealogy, which is really my focus, is, I think, one way to become enlightened. And my guest today is Michelle Corinne, and she's written her book on astrology for enlightenment. So we're going to merge these two topics today. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on and what we can and should be looking forward to, I think. And we will be taking your calls, so stay tuned, and let's welcome Michelle. We were supposed to have this conversation last week, I believe.
Yes, we were. I'm sorry, Susan.
I don't know if it was your fault or mine. I think someone forgot to tell me that where you live doesn't go on to daylight savings time. And
yes.
It wasn't you.
Yeah, it's actually a strange day because Arizona stays on the same time all year round. So one half of the year we are aligned with California, and one half of the year we are 1 hour ahead of California. So it's very confusing.
It really is. So you were on the show back in September. Actually, it was on my birthday, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I was. It was a beautiful show. Thank you.
And we decided we were going to have you back, and you were going to come back in January, and you were, I think, stuck somewhere in the jungles of Colombia.
Yeah, and then after that I was in 6 countries in Europe, so I mean, I haven't been touching the ground the American ground very much.
Well, I tell you what's going on with this ground shaking?
Well, it's a very interesting time because numerologically 2010 adds up to 3, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 0. And 3 astrologically is related to Jupiter, and Jupiter has to do with expansion of consciousness, has to do with faith, optimism, has to do with, expanding our horizons, seeing different things, connecting to the world in a very real way, and also has to do with abundance. So the fact that the earth is shaking a little everywhere, I mean, we had this very horrible earthquake in Haiti, and then followed by a very brutal earthquake in Chile, and it's accelerating because the earth is a living entity. And I work a lot about, you talk about genealogy. I work a lot with the Peruvian shamans, the Quero master shamans in Peru, who are the direct descendants of the Incas. And they consider our planet, the Earth, as their mother. So they call her Pachamama, Mother Earth. And they honor the planet. So they never have a drink without offering a few drops of their drink to Pachamama. They always give food to their mother. So they always honor, and they consider the Mother Earth to be their true mother. And the fact that we have been especially in our Western world, very much abusing the earth, using her resources, using minerals, depleting the earth in many places, polluting the earth in many other places. You know, the planet is sick too, and the planet is itching too, and an earthquake is her way of having, you know, it could be the analogy that she has a crisis, you know, pimple crisis, and she explains it, she expresses it through an earthquake. So an earthquake is about shaking the earth, and it's about waking people up, and it's about destroying those false structures in order for more real structures to be reborn out of the you know, shambles. So it's a very important time right now, because it's also a time where, because the consciousness of humanity is changing globally in every country, and I was lucky enough to be in 7 different countries in South America and Europe in the past 2 months, and it's amazing to me to see that no matter what language we speak, no matter what color of skin we have, everywhere, everybody is going through the same shift. It's a global revolution that's all over the planet. And yet, not everybody is understanding what is going on, and a lot of people are still hanging on to the old consciousness. So the earth is creating earthquakes so that new vortexes can become available. Because we know the vortexes like Sedona, like Glastonbury, like all the sacred spots, but now new vortexes are coming to the surface. And like, for example, the Kundalini energy was until now in India, and now it has moved to Peru. So a lot of Indians from India moved to Peru because the Kundalini energy is there. LA, for example, is the throat chakra of the planet. Glastonbury is the heart chakra of the planet. So there is specific, you know, if we see the body, the earth, as a physical body, it also has chakras, it also has meridians, it also has a magnetic grid. And because everything, the place of the planet Earth is shifting in the cosmos, then that grid is also shifting. And that explains why some new places need to become alive, activated.
You know, this is very interesting because, you know, I have made a comment. You know, we had a hurricane here about 2 years ago, a year ago, year and a half ago, where I live, which is just north of Galveston, Texas. And when I was not here during the hurricane, I was on the other side of the world. But, you know, when I came home, even though I didn't have an extensive damage, I felt such a shift of energy that I still feel within this area. And it is very strange, very bizarre, and very uncomfortable. And I've tried to verbalize that, and I seem to have a little bit of a problem explaining that to some of my friends. But, you know, it is I guess the hurricanes, too, are a part of this whole natural shift that we're talking about. And, you know, we do become a little uncomfortable with the energy that surrounds us, and, you know, I guess...
Absolutely. Absolutely, Susan, because this can be likened to moving. You know, when you move, well, it's exciting, you have a new house, you know, but then all of a sudden, you don't have your marks anymore. You have to figure out where's the grocery store, where's the nail salon, where's the hair place, where's the, you know, where can I get supplies to... you know, hardware supplies. I mean, you have to start looking at your environment in a whole new way. And then, especially if you're moving within the same city, all of a sudden, you know, it took you maybe 15 minutes to go to the garage. Now it's taking you an hour and a half or half an hour. So you maybe have to find another garage. And it's a time of shifting, but these shifts, although they are very uncomfortable because they literally, you know, pull us away from our comfort zone, they force us to reevaluate what is really important. They force us to, you know, like when you move, you throw a lot of stuff away. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, well, I need a piece of furniture here, or I need this, or I need that, and, oh, I never had a garden, now I need maybe a fire pit, I need maybe some garden furniture, you know? And this is all what is happening now, is that we cannot remain in the same place and go through this massive shift that the planet is experiencing, that the whole of humanity is experiencing. Because as we walk towards 2012, as the center of the Earth is going to be completely in alignment with the center of the galaxy, and the Milky Way is going to be touching the Earth in all points, our position in space is not the same. So our position in our own personal lives is not the same. And we have to look at where is there a lack of honesty in our lives, a lack of integrity in our lives. Because if we look at those places that are being hit, they're not, it's not, you know, these are places where there's corruption. These are places where there has been a lot of negative manipulation. There's been a lot of abuse of people. There's been a lot of using, you know, money over lives. And these places, you know, those people who choose to die, because we have to remember, we choose our lives, we choose our time of death, we choose at a soul level, it may not be a conscious choice, but at a soul level, we decide certain things. And some of those souls in Haiti and Chile and other places have agreed on a soul level to go with that earthquake and to take with them the karma of a people or the karma of that place. So these people are actually rendering an incredible service by doing that. And although it looks like a tragedy, on a spiritual level, we need to remember that death does not exist. Death is just another transformation, a major one, because we leave our physical envelope in order to, you know, travel into other spaces, but our soul continues. Our soul does not die. And those people who choose to take that karma with them are helping cleanse the place, are helping lift a very dense and dark energy in order for a much lighter, much more enlightened and much more beautiful energy to take place. And those people who survive a situation like that, exactly like in your case with a hurricane, you cannot go through an event like that and remain unchanged. It's impossible. So these are very important times, and these are times where, you know, although it looks like a tragedy on one level, on another level, it's a huge blessing.
So, you know, for those of us who, you know, are feeling or sensing, you know, change, and I don't know, astrologically, you know, if we go back to Eastern Europe, for example, during the Holocaust, you know, if there was a shift of some sort that was taking place about that time, that you could even, you know, put into some sort of a spiritual connotation as, you know, what we're doing. But, you know, this happens time and time again. And if I take us back into the study of our ancestry and our roots, you know, and you look at the periods of time that people lived and, you know, the famines in Ireland and the Holocaust in Eastern Europe and Europe and, you know, ad infinitum, I would venture to say that we're looking historically at something very similar today that perhaps, you know, was happening back then when we're, you know, as we study the lives of our forebears.
It's true, but it's also, I would say that, you know, the two world wars came after we discovered Pluto, and Pluto has to do with the underworld, has to do with very terrorism, has to do with very deep underground forces coming to the surface. So the schism between darkness and light became extremely obvious during the two world wars, and even more during the Second World War. And now I would say this has prepared the consciousness of humanity to what's going on now, but now it's a very different dimension. Although there is wars, there are also earthquakes, there's also tornadoes, there's also hurricanes, there's also tsunamis. I mean, the earth is also, there's a lot of natural disasters. And we need to not give way to fear, because a lot of people are saying, oh my gosh, I'm leaving California because God knows what's going to hit here. Well, first of all, what we need to understand is that the earth is awakening in different locations. So places where there has never been earthquakes ever are going to start seeing earthquakes. Places where volcanoes have never been awakened are going to start awakening. So it's not a matter of where we are on the planet, but it is where we are in our own consciousness. So if we are with a clean heart, and if we are living with integrity, and if we are doing the best we can and being decent human beings who are honest and are caring about our fellow people, then there is, wherever we are, even if we are in the midst of a tornado or a tsunami, we're going to be protected. But, and then there's those who do choose to, as a spiritual service, to take, to leave and leave the planet, taking with them the karma of that place. And there are those who become erased because they're just not getting it, you know. It's like an exam. You go to through school, you go through classes, but if you're not, you know, you keep taking the same class over and over again because you don't want to learn your lesson, well, at one point you get expelled, and that's how it goes. You know, we can't keep, you know, helping people who don't want to help themselves and who don't want to awaken. Because, to be honest, if you open YouTube, if you check websites, if you go to any bookstore, the information is out there. So if people don't see it, it's because they don't want to see it. It's not because it's not available, because it is available. So this is a time now where we have to make choices, and 2010 is the last year before the first ending of the Mayan calendar, which is going to happen on the 28th of October of 2011. And 2010 is really the year of separation between those who are and those who are not, meaning those who are choosing the new consciousness of love and peace and oneness and understanding that what we do unto another, we do unto ourselves, that whatever we think in the privacy of our heart affects our world and the people around us, that nothing is hidden, everything is visible, even if it's not directly visible, it is energetically very visible. And the separation with those who are not, those who want to continue lying, cheating, who think that what they do with one hand, nobody's going to know if they lie enough. And that's not true, you know. But, you know, we have free will. So we have a right to choose not to ascend. We have a right to choose not to become enlightened. But is that the wisest choice? I don't think so, but, you know, we still have free will. And 2010, on an astrological level, is very interesting because we have, we started the year in January 14th with the eclipse in Capricorn, and then we had another eclipse, you know, we're going to have another eclipse in Cancer, and in Capricorn, actually, again, sorry, in June 26th, and then a solar eclipse in Cancer on July 11th. And then it will shift to Gemini, an eclipse in Gemini on December 21st. And what is fascinating is that those eclipses in Cancer and Capricorn this year, 2010, have to do with our ambitions in the world and our status in the world and how we want to be recognized and what kind of impact we want to make on society. And Cancer has to do with home, with security, with our basis, with family. So I think the work you're doing, Susan, with, you know, finding our ancestors is incredibly important this year, because we need to know where we're coming from in order to know what are we going to transmit to our children and what lineage are we choosing to connect to. Because there is, you know, in the family, there's always the black sheep, there's always the bad person who committed crimes and lived, you know, a life of dissolution. Or there is people in a family who live a life of enlightenment, of goodness, of helping others. And which lineage do we choose? That's also an important question.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that out because, you know, I also see not only the shift, but a split of consciousness. And I mean, I think, you know, just in healthcare reform and the things that are going on within our government is that, you know, it appears that there's a 50-50 split, within our own communities, which, is very, very intriguing to me, because if you look at, you know, our governing bodies, it is opposite ends of the poles, and, you know, there seems to be no real in-between thinking. And how does the time, I think, I mean, it all must have to do with what's going on astrologically, that we also are so divided in how we think.
Absolutely. Well, Saturn is retrograde, has been retrograde since January 13 until May 30th. And this is a time where we have to understand, what do we give power to? What authority do we recognize? And, of course, you know, we live in a society that has a government, that has specific rules, but at the same time, not everybody believes the same things within the same country. Not everybody supports the same things. I mean, there's those people who are supporting ecology, supporting green, being green, and, you know, taking your own grocery bags to the store and not using plastic anymore. And those very simple things that do divide people between those who are awakened or awakening and those who choose to remain in a consciousness of being asleep and not wanting to realize their responsibility in the grander scheme of things. Because each one of us is society. Each one of us is responsible for everything that's going on in the world. And I love the Ho'oponopono meditation, which was, developed in Hawaii by this Hawaiian healer, Dr. Len. And he healed a whole ward of mentally insane criminals in Hawaii with a very simple meditation saying, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you." And it seems like nothing, but it's huge, because he was brought in this prison that was pretty much next door to hell. Even the people working there were afraid for their lives. And the guys there was absolutely no hope. They had committed horrendous crimes. They were mentally insane. You couldn't even talk to them. And they were in heavy shackles. They were under heavy medication. And they weren't even allowed to go out. I mean, it was a brutal place. And this healer gets called in, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do here?" And everybody who had gone, therapists and psychologists and everybody, had lasted a few weeks and had just given up because it was just too horrible. And he had the brilliancy of saying, "Well, if I'm brought here, it's because I'm responsible. You know, if we are, whatever happens in our lives, we are the center of our lives. So whatever happens around me, I'm there the whole time, meaning that on some level, I created that reality. So the good news is, you know, as a good script writer, whatever scenario you wrote, you can also tear apart and write again if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for you. And he decided to really, so he never talked with the inmates. He never sat with them, first because he couldn't. I mean, it was impossible to talk to those guys. But then because the problem was not in the inmates, the problem was him, in him, and he recognized that. And although he was a good man who had never committed a crime in his life, he went over every one of the files of these inmates, considering that he had created, manifested those crimes. He was the murderer. He was the one who had abused these women and done this and done that. And so saying I'm sorry was really completely taking ultimate spiritual responsibility for what was around him. And then saying, please forgive me, so asking for forgiveness, I love you, sending the energy of love, which is the most powerful energy in the universe, and thank you. Thank you, which is the very important thing, gratitude. Gratitude for even the most horrible things that happen in our lives. Because there's always a lesson, because there's always a chance for us either to become bitter and blame it on someone else or on circumstances, or to say, you know what, I created that, I learned from it, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's very important to realize that the economic situation, the war, everything, we are, each one of us, responsible for us, for that. So if I personally in my life change my relationship to money, for example, that will affect the whole economic situation of the world. And maybe not in a huge way immediately, but if enough of us do that, it's going to change things. And this year is the year for doing that, because Jupiter is in Pisces all year since January 17 all the way till January 21st of 2011. And this is magical because Jupiter has to do with abundance and Pisces has to do with connecting to the cosmic, a cosmic understanding of things. Pisces is not a materialistic sign, but it's a very intuitive sign and a very mystical sign. And this is telling us that this year we need to shift our understanding of money in a spiritual way. And if we start to understand that money is what is being the most commonly distributed, you know, I mean, it's banknotes go from hand to hand, so everybody touches the same banknotes. If we start to shift our consciousness, and instead of focusing on the recession and everything's going badly and the market's going down and the housing, you know, everything is going down, starting to find creative solutions within that. Because in the end, the recession, so-called, it's the result of a collective subconscious of belief. It's a belief in scarcity. If we start to believe in abundance, out of scarcity, I know people who have completely reinvented their lives, and I'm one of them too, have completely reinvented their lives in a way where it's not so financially heavy anymore, and yet they're very happy, they're still living very well, but in a way that provides freedom, in a way that provides a sense of, I don't have to work so many hours to pay all my bills, I can work half the time and still enjoy a great lifestyle. Maybe have a little less, maybe have a little, you know, things different, but it's still great, and life is still wonderful. And then you become more focused on what is really important in your life. Is what is the most important being in the rat race and running around in circles, or is it creating something that has value for you, that enables you to breathe, to smell the roses, and enjoy the landscapes, and sleep peacefully at night, and be able to have time to meditate during the day?
Well, I think you just described some of the things you and I have talked about privately. So it's really a time for change is what it is, and it is a time for refocus. And, you know, I haven't really decided that I'm prepared to make any formal announcements at this time. But, you know, I've pretty much decided that that's, you know, where I want to go. I love my work, and I'd love to be able to do more of it, but humanly, it's impossible. So, you know, I think in the recreating phase is that, you know, if everybody started to really do what they really enjoy doing, and where really the financial gain wasn't as important as the fact that you're doing what you enjoy doing, that the money will be there.
And it is. And I love that you say that, Susan, because it is a time where we have to follow our hearts. In the last years of the man calendar have to do with integrity, and integrity is inner honesty. And it's really, you know, why am I staying in this relationship? Why am I staying in this job? Why am I staying in this city? You know, we have to ask ourselves questions and say, you know what, after all, maybe I don't. And maybe if I move, or maybe if I, you know, change this relationship, or if I can't change it, if I leave it, then all of a sudden the universe will open up. And I see a lot of people, especially in personal readings, who are hanging on to, you know, a place that's costing them their blood, basically, you know, and they have to work so hard to maintain this place. And in the end, you know, if you ask them, why are you working so hard to maintain this place? Oh, because, and then they start to realize they have never really asked themselves that question. They're just doing it, you know? And then the same with a job, you know? They may hate going to that job every day, but yet, you know, they feel, oh, it's security. And if I leave it with the state of the market, I may not find another position, so let's stay. But the truth is that if you are hanging on to something that you don't like just for the sake of security, this is a very false security, because that job can be taken away from you tomorrow and that income can disappear tomorrow. And then where's the security? And yet you gave the best years of your life at the job you didn't really love. And maybe there's something else that you really love, that you're really gifted for, that you've always been amazingly gifted at. And then if you start to do it and to start having faith, because this year with Jupiter in Pisces, it's a year of having trust, it's a year of having faith, it's a year of believing in ourselves that everything we want, whether it's money, relationship, happiness, it's all within ourselves. And I love my dear friend Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote this beautiful book called The Mastery of Love. He has this beautiful analogy that says, you know, if we believe in scarcity, then if somebody comes with a pizza and we have no food, we're going to want the pizza. And if that pizza comes with strings attached, I'll give you pizza every day, but you have to do this, that, and that for me. And the person, if they believe they don't have food, are going to accept that those conditions because they want the pizza. But if you believe that you are a magical kitchen, and that's the example he gives, if you believe that you have everything within you, you have all the foods of the planet, the most delicate foods, the most extraordinary foods, if somebody comes and tells you they are going to offer you a pizza, but you have to do this and that for them, you're going to say, well, that's very sweet, but, you know, I've got my own pizza, and probably it's even better than yours. You're welcome to mine if you want, because I've got plenty. Why would I do anything you want when I already have all I need? And if we start to focus on our inner completion, that we are already all the money we need, we are all the love we need, we are all the talents we need, then we can live a very blissful life. And this is the year that's definitely going to separate those who believe in scarcity and believe in the collective subconscious and those who say, you know what, I've got everything I need right now. I can create my little plant garden, you know, vegetable garden. I can eat sprouts. I can be completely self-sufficient and send blessings to the world, but at the same time be completely autonomous.
And, you know, I've always said to Michelle that no matter what you feel or you think someone has taken away from you, there's one thing nobody can take away, and that's your soul, your spirit.
Absolutely.
And that's you. And, you know, nobody can take that away. So, and I'm going to open up the lines if you don't mind. I'm going to give out the number. It's 888-815-9756. If you want to either join in the conversation or ask Michelle some questions or myself, we're here. And we're going to continue the conversation a little bit because, you know, some of the things that we talk about is getting back to our roots. And maybe not so much to the genealogical roots, but just to the roots of our ancestors and the way our ancestors lived. I mean, you know, they didn't have capitalism. They didn't have, you know, all these things. And they lived off the land and they lived within their means. They're, you know, yeah, there were maybe a few people that gave them credit back in the early days. But, you know, we've generationally, I think, taken advantage of some of the things and that came, and some of these things that were presented to us from a very capitalistic mentality. So it's, you know, you hear it on the news. It's time for everybody to really step back and, you know, begin to live within your means. And sometimes those means may not be the way you felt you have lived.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, because in the end, I mean, I come from Europe, and in Europe, and I lived a long time in Switzerland, and in Switzerland, people carry cash. They don't even have really credit cards unless they're going to make a huge, you know, purchase. They don't have checkbooks, they just have cash. So if you don't have the cash for something, you just don't buy it. It's as simple as that. So we're basically going back to some normal things. And the same with food, you know, where we design to eat canned food, processed food, microwaved food. No, not at all. We were supposed to pick fruit from the trees and eat those. We were supposed to eat vegetables as they came out of the garden and just maybe cook them on a fire, and that was it, you know. So in the end, it's beautiful what's going on now, because we're going back to our true roots, and I think that's why so many people are becoming so interested in indigenous, you know, populations and wisdom, because these are the true keepers of the earth. These are the people who have maintained very ancient traditions that were common sense, close to nature traditions. And I'm very excited, actually, that I'm going to be leading a group in Peru, in the sacred spots of Peru in August. So you can go to my website to get the details at michellekaren.com. And it's a beautiful time where we will be connecting with the Kero Master Shamans and doing ceremonies with them in the sacred spots and the sacred mountains of Peru.
When is that?
Between the 7th and the 21st of August of this year, 2010. And there is, actually, the main tour is not as long because there's an extra 4 days in Lake Titicaca for people who want that option. But it's very magical to be working with those people, because you see the Kero Master Shamans, they still live mostly in the glaciers. They have no shoes. The women have no shoes and no socks, you know, at all. They don't have stockings or socks. They just have those heavy skirts and sweaters. But that's all they have, and a hat. And they live in the glaciers with no running water, with no electricity, no heat, and they are the happiest people I ever met. And they're so connected to the wisdom of the earth, and they're so connected to all those prophecies. And they also have their own prophecy of the end of one world in 2012. Because the other good news of what's going on economically is that people have to start getting together. You know, families are living in the same house, you know, in order to save money. A lot of people are starting to really, you know, focus on community living, watching over each other, helping each other. You know, maybe one has fruit trees for the whole neighborhood and the other one has vegetables for the whole neighborhood. And everybody is starting to create those sort of survival communities but that are about human warmth, are about sharing our skills, and that are about living with heart and in a spirit of oneness.
It almost sounds like living on a kibbutz in Israel.
I've never been there, but, you know, that's the idea. I mean, it's the idea of tribes. It's the idea of communities, you know. And it's the idea of going back to our roots. So I think the work you're doing, Susan, is beautiful because we do need to know our ancestors. We have gotten so disconnected from everything, from nature. You know, I mean, we live in houses that have heat and electricity, so we don't need to go and sleep at the same time as, you know, the sunset, and we don't need to wake up at dawn. If it's cold outside, well, we have heat and we stay inside. But we're becoming increasingly disconnected from everything, you know, and from each other. That's the worst part of it. Because when people are autonomous, they have enough money, they can do whatever they want, they may not be so connected to family. And I think we are also discovering a new sense of family. And family may not be our blood family, because within our blood family, some people may choose ascension, some people may not, you know. So I know, you know, my sister and my mother are absolutely not on the same wavelength as I am, literally. And that's fine, that's their choice, you know, and they have every right to do that. But that shouldn't affect the fact that I can still have a family, but maybe it's not going to be my blood family. Maybe it's going to be my friends. It's going to be my neighbors. It's going to be the people who relate to the message I'm sending and who are like-spirited and believe in the same things I believe in. So we are actually connecting now to our star family, which is even better. It's even more profound.
Now, what you said star family?
Star family, yeah, because we all came from the stars. I mean, we need to remember
right.
that. You know, we didn't originate on planet Earth. That's why there's different races, because they came from different planets. We are all star seeds. And now is our chance to go back to our true spiritual roots and understand where we're coming from. And what our heritage did we come from? What gifts did we come from? Because the lineage always has a gift for us. Our ancestors each have a gift for us. And that's a very important part of the work with the Kero Master Shamans, is that we honor our ancestors. We have an altar for our ancestors. And our ancestors, as we honor them and give them a home in our home, give us a gift in exchange. And it's a very beautiful ceremony that empowers both the ancestor and the person, you know, the descendant.
And it doesn't have to be material gifts either.
No, not at all. Actually, it's mostly spiritual gifts, you know.
Right,
like
right.
One ancestor will give you the gift of courage. Another ancestor will give you the gift of love. The other ancestor will give you the gift of abundance. You know, it's very much like in fairy tales when the young princess was surrounded by all the fairy godmothers, and each godmother gave her something, intelligence, wisdom, beauty, compassion. And these are the things we need. This is our wealth. This is the things we can tap into. These are our true resources, and this is what these times are calling us to manifest. And that's the magic. I think we're living magical times, you know. I don't agree with the negative thing, oh my gosh, life is so hard and the recession and we don't have money. And I don't believe in that, because some people right now are making an enormous amount of money. Some people are very successful right now. Some people are blooming in their lives. Some people are the happiest they have ever been. Some people are, you know, a lot of people are realizing that they can dream their dreams and have them become realities, and that this is not wishful thinking. This is real. This is what we are dreaming our reality into being right now. And that's the most magical thing that we own, and that is manifesting right in front of our eyes. And it amazes me, because when I do readings, you know, a lot of people have fear on making changes. They know they have to make those changes, but then they have the fear of actually making those changes. And once they leap into the unknown, it's like a magic carpet is thrown under their feet, and everything falls into place, like beyond their wildest dreams. So we need to trust, and Jupiter in Pisces this year is really about trust. It's really about faith. It's really about believing in the abundance of the universe and knowing, as Don Miguel Ruiz says very beautifully, that we are, each of us, a magical kitchen. And in a magical kitchen, every dish is possible.
You know, I just love the way you put it, because, you know, I've been feeling, you know, this change welling up inside of me, and it's a spiritual change, not a, you know, which really has to do materially, because all of a sudden the material things that were once important to me are no longer.
Exactly.
And, you know, what is important to me is helping, you know, people connect to their roots and connecting spiritually back into, you know, this universe. And you know, it really is an amazing thing. I mean, a year ago, and even when we talked 6 months ago, I had no idea where I was going with what I was doing. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm having to turn work down, and I it just breaks my heart, because I never, A, dreamt I'd have to do that, but B, you know, that's really not where I want to go. So I'm hoping to bring some more people on board with me in the next couple of months, because I don't want to be doing that. But, you know, here we sit. I mean, it's a total dichotomy in 6 months, 7 months, once we decided really where we were going to go with everything.
Absolutely.
And there are more changes in the wind for me.
And things are changing very fast these days. I mean, it's like mind-blowing what's going on, because we may have certain goals that we had like 6 months ago, and now we're in a completely different reality. And we are dealing with completely different people, with different projects, with different, sometimes different locations. And it's going so fast. There's an acceleration of energy right now, because as we are coming to the end of one cycle, you know, things are speeding up, and we don't have a lot of time to process anything, which makes things a little hard, because we have to be very on top of everything, and we can't, because there's too much to be on top of. But that's the good news too, because then our mind cannot get in the mix. We have to follow our hearts. We have to follow our intuitions. We cannot analyze. We cannot digest. So we just have to keep moving forward and letting go, shedding, letting go as much as we can.
So what is going to happen with all these things that everybody's going to be letting go?
Well, I think we're just simplifying our lives, because as we are letting go of certain things, you know, a lot of people, I was at Goodwill yesterday and I was amazed. I mean, it's like this huge hangar here in, you know, South Phoenix, and they had like a guy working like nonstop, getting one bag of stuff after another. And you know, it's beautiful, because as people shed, other people who have maybe less means or who are less in understanding on how to create abundance can still find abundance in a certain way and in a, you know, in their own way. So, you know, in the end, it's good, because I think we need to have less right now. We need to rely on less. And we need to be very flexible. We need to be able to travel at will. We need to be able to go. We need to follow spirit, you know. We need to follow our hearts. We need to be, we can't have material values weigh heavily in the balance. It doesn't work anymore. And that's only going to slow us down. That's only going to limit us. That's only going to create artificial barriers that in the end do not serve a higher purpose, which is ultimately enlightenment. And enlightenment to me is really oneness with the divine, understanding that we are all that is, that each one of us is the light, each one of us is love, each of us is wisdom and consciousness. And as we start to really experience that in our daily lives, then it's going to be a magical world we're creating. Because the Mayan calendar ends, not because it's the end of the world, it's the end of one world, but because we don't need a calendar beyond 2012. Beyond 2012, there is no road map saying this is what's going to happen. We are creating it as we are going along. And so we're going into the unknown, and we're creating a whole new society with a whole new dimension, and we are doing it, and it's our generation. I think it's amazing what's going on.
And it almost sounds like the other side.
It is the other side. It definitely is. And in 2010, we have a very first great taste of that, what it feels like. Because as those, quote-quote, who are not are being separated from those, quote-quote, who are, meaning those who are not, you know, who are not choosing enlightenment and those who are choosing enlightenment are having less and less contact with those who are not, because we can't even relate to them. We can't talk to them. It's like we're speaking Chinese, even if we're speaking the same English language, you know? And the thing is that as we are gathering more and more people who are like spirited, then the reality, the acceleration is becoming much faster and life is becoming easier. You know, if you don't have to fight all the time with people who don't get what you're talking about and who are, you know, caught up in greed and anger, well, and you are with people who are, you know, respectful and loving and caring, life is magical, life is beautiful, you know. You can trust your neighbor, you know they have your best interest at heart, you know they're going to be there when you need them, and you're going to be there for them when they need you. It's beautiful, and that's the world we're going towards, but we are already experiencing it right now, and that's beautiful.
And, you know, based on that, I mean, there are going to be some people who aren't going to be going and who are going to be staying in the same patterns that they've been in and, you know, for these many years. And so they're going to be kind of living together, and the enlightened ones are going to be living together. And I guess what you're saying is it's going to be two different worlds.
It's basically parallel realities, you know, and I always give the example of channels on our TV set. They are all coexisting at the same time, and one channel is the news, one channel is the romantic movie, one channel is the music channel, one is the Animal Planet. And the thing is that you choose which channel you want to see and what you want to feed your mind with and your heart with. And yet all those channels are existing simultaneously, but they don't meet each other. They are in parallel realities. And that's the same that's going to happen here, is that it's already happening. I mean, I'm sure you never meet gang members or people who own guns, or you don't meet those people, because, and yet they exist probably, you know, maybe a few miles away from where you live, but you don't meet them because your frequency is different. So these people can't even connect with your frequency or can't enter your frequency.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like angels. You know, angels live in a higher frequency than ours, so they're not visible to us unless we become also of that higher consciousness, and then we're able to see them or hear them. But most people will tell you angels don't exist. And it's not true that they don't exist, but for that person, a specific person who is not tuned to that specific channel, it is true. The angels don't exist. So it's not a question, so it's a question of choices, and that's why the choices we make are so important, because depending on what we feed our minds and souls and lives with and what we give power to is going to determine the frequency we're going to be landing at. And from that frequency, lower frequencies cannot touch us. But if you choose to give power to negative movies, to negative thoughts, to negative people in your life, well, you're going to maintain yourself in a very low frequency. And then that frequency is going to attract rapists and murderers and crazy people, you know. But it's a choice. It's a choice. So if we choose a different reality, a different frequency, then we are attracting people of that frequency.
And that's beautiful.
And that's very important now. Thank you.
That is really beautiful because, I mean, I know I'm not the only one, but I know over the last few years, I mean, I have had to compartmentalize a little bit, you know, the people that are negative. And, you know, when I walk into a room, I've actually reduced the amount of times I go to parties and those kinds of things, because I walk into a room sometimes now and it's like, you know, walking into a dark hole.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's like I want to turn around and run away as fast as I can.
Exactly. And you're exactly describing the process magnificently, Susan, because it's how we feel. So it's not logical. It's not that we don't want to interact with certain people, but at one point we just can't, you know, we can't be. I know there's certain movies, you know, full of blood and stuff. I can't even watch them. I don't know how people do that.
Me neither.
But that's my reality. I cannot watch those movies, and I choose not to. I don't see why I should force myself to, and that's the way it is.
And, you know, and too, you know, I mean, there's so many negative influences in our world, you know, that, I mean, none of us could stay away from watching, you know, the horror that went on in Haiti and that feeling that we all had. Now, I mean, we're so much, you know, we're so removed from it. And even today, we're removed from it because it's not on the news every day. But I guess, you know, it's, you know, those kinds of things that we have to learn how to, I guess, reshape.
Exactly. I like that you say that, because it's one thing to watch a Hollywood movie that's just, you know, pointless violence for nothing. But it's another to see the real violence that's going on in Haiti or in Chile. And I think we can watch that with the eyes of compassion and with the eyes of love and understanding. So there's a lot of things we can do, you know. Of course, on a material level, we can send food and clothing and money. On a spiritual level, we can send light. On a spiritual level, we can, you know, lift the consciousness of the survivors who went through probably the most traumatic experience of their entire life and help them understand, or in a spiritual way, even if we will never meet them in person, it doesn't matter. We are all connected.
And too, you know, you go back to some of the horrors, you know, of the Holocaust and those, and the wars and those kinds of things. And, you know, it's how we reshape those things and we make it our own and how we feel it.
And you
so
know,
that,
I love that. Yeah. And so,
you know, so that we can hopefully ensure that these kinds of things, you know, don't happen to anybody else. But if we don't reshape these things, then, you know, the they're going to keep happening.
That's very true. And we have to think of another thing. The concept of time, past, present, future, is not true, because time is circular. So past, present, and future exist simultaneously. There's actually no separation between past, present, and future. So we can also have the concept that in one reality, the Holocaust hasn't happened yet. In one reality, Atlantis never sank. And we can change the past by transforming our present. And as we transform our present, we also shift our future. And certain events of the past can be transmuted or can be understood in a different way, so that the horror does not need to be a doom and gloom thing that's stuck with us forever. We can never change. We can change everything. And it's kind of a bizarre concept, but now we're talking about quantum physics, but in the next few years, we are going to go into quantum realities, left and right, everywhere. And we're going to realize that certain things are not stuck in stone the way we thought they were.
We need to do this again. We've run out of our hour. Can you believe it?
No. No, it's going so fast with you, Susan.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to do this again. I think we need to do a six-month repeat.
I love that. I'm for it. All for it.
Probably after your trip to Peru. That would be wonderful to talk
Perfect.
About.
What
Absolutely. You see and where we have shifted, you know, between now and then. And I can tell you it's going to be it's going to be miles for everybody that's in this process, because it's phenomenal. And, you know, the days go by way too fast and faster than the speed of light.
Absolutely. It's not going to get better in the next few years.
Gosh, I love it. Michelle Caron. You can reach her at www.michellekaren.com. And I just love having you on the show. You just are so enlightening. And your book is Astrology for Enlightenment, and you can get that at her website as well. And what a joy. And let's stay in touch. And September.
Perfect.
Would that be great? I'm Susan King. This is where genealogy and spirit connect.